Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wieder of The Athletic. I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score. Daniel, we got another mailbag episode today, brother.
We got a whole new audience here today as well, Mark Grody. We've got the Hallmark movie watchers here to see us, and we've got a whole music contingent after our last mailbag episode. We do a lot. We're versatile, like Kobe Bryant and Dylan Thienemann.
I want to know when our Candlebox merch will be arriving because I'm ready to just to display that proudly. That if not, and we'll get your Creed hoodie. I'm sure that that's what you need since you did reveal on the last episode that you put Creed at about an 8 on the 10 scale, which just blew me away.
I don't know that I went 8. I think it was like a 5.5 or something, somewhere around there. I just wasn't as appalled by them as you are.
Can you take me? No, I'm sorry. I'm not going
to
do that again.
I also had another song that I wanted to see if you knew or remembered. This would have probably been early 2000s. This was Limp Bizkit and Exhibit. A little tandem action here called Get Your Groove On. And now this is a song that in that era, if you were trying to get fired up for like anything really, but for a night out.
I don't know if I remember that song. Maybe if I heard it, I would, but I will reveal I am a closet Limp Bizkit fan.
Okay. So then this song's really going to do it for you. As soon as this episode's over, you go, you get into your Apple Music, your Amazon Music, wherever you need to go, get your groove on Limp Bizkit and Exhibit. And then maybe the next episode, I'll share the lyric that I find the most hilarious from that song. It's not appropriate for work. NSFW. Give that a listen.
Maybe we'll also reveal what we did for the Nookie at some point in time on one of these episodes.
Did it all for the Nookie. So you all can take that cookie
and stick it up your Skazinski.
We don't got to finish that. We don't got to finish that one.
The thing is we can. It's so funny how we are.
There's a certain point, like you can only push it so far before you get flagged by YouTube. So.
Right. No, and you're right. And Limp Bizkit does offend a lot of people.
I don't think you need to say you're a closet Limp Bizkit fan. You can just be a Limp Bizkit fan.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
Like, I have made that clear on the Score.
Give me something to break.
Yeah. and it's weird what's going on. Like, they're very popular again right now. Like, people,
they were at Lollapalooza a couple years ago.
Korn was just there last year. I mean, there is something going on with that post grunge era of songs right now. But anyway,
I don't think Limp Bizkit ever went out of style.
You might be right. I didn't know that you were also a Limp Bizkit guy.
Hey, look, early 2000s music, it caught me. Some of it I was late to, but it caught me.
Same. I was very late just because, again, grunge killed me.
Okay, we'll get to it here. We'll start off. We got two questions from our friend Extreme Mike. If I'm not mistaken. So
he's sitting there drinking Mountain Dew and writing questions down. I'm Extreme Mike.
Extreme Mike is going to make a cameo before 2026 is over. We're going to bring him on and we're going to have an Extreme Mike episode. He would be happy to join, and he is Extreme.
Looking forward to it, Extreme Mike. Okay, so again, two questions here. We'll start with one on the offensive line. What are the odds Logan Jones starts? How did he look at minicamp?
I remember when they drafted Logan Jones on many of the subsequent podcasts, I was making the case that why not Logan Jones? Why not Logan Jones, the starter, over Garrett Bradbury? I don't know if I want to say I've completely flip-flopped, but I personally think it will be Garrett Bradbury, and I think it probably should be Garrett Bradbury. And that is just because of considering all that Drew Dahlman did for Caleb Williams last year, the way that Garrett Bradbury fits in with the zone blocking scheme, the fact that he worked with Drake May last year, the fact that he has played back-to-back 17-game seasons with, again, Drake May, got to the Super Bowl last year. Look, I am all for the possibility of Logan Jones winning the job. I mean, that would be ideal. If he could get caught up that fast and do all the things that they need to do for Caleb Williams, which will begin to dissipate as the years go on. But right now, I still think that Caleb Williams needs that security blanket of a veteran center. And for me, that's Garrett Bradbury. That's where I am right now. So my opinion actually has changed a little bit. And we saw nothing, but unless you saw it differently, Dan, you were at more of the practices. It was Garrett Bradbury as the starting center. It didn't feel that Logan Jones was getting that first team crack, which maybe he'll get in training camp.
The Logan Jones pick was a future-based pick, and it's not the not too distant future. I will say that. Sure. You know, the Bears understand that they have had a difficult time locking down that center position. They finally got it locked down, and then Drew Dahlman retired. And so Ryan Poles saw an opportunity to get a guy that can help them for a long time. But I think you're correct that Garrett Bradbury makes the most sense out of the gates because of the experience factor, the mental advantage that he has of having played in this league multiple stops behind or in front of several different quarterbacks, young and old, and really just knowing kind of how to handle that position at this level for an offense that, by Ben Johnson's own description, puts more on the center's plate than most offenses, right? And so that's what you have to understand with Logan Jones, is it's going to take a while to catch up. Now, listen, the Bears have been adamant since the day they picked him that his IQ is off the charts. His ability to download information is off the charts. It still takes time to download that information. And so this is just a time thing for Logan Jones to get himself ready, to get himself comfortable. You see the things, all the things they talked about Logan Jones during the offseason program, about the training he got at Iowa, the fact that he was the quote-unquote circuit board of the offensive line for the Hawkeyes there. You understand what the Bears invested in here and where they're trying to take him. But I do Absolutely. Think it's going to take time to get there. And I think we're on the same page in believing that your week one starter is Garrett Bradbury. And then maybe we revisit it every month or so to see what the progress of Logan Jones is.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Let's get our next question from our Take the North mailbag with our guy, Adam Stasinski.
All right, so our second question from our friend Extreme Mike. Can we get a Xavion Thomas heat check? Why was this guy the darling of minicamp? What made him so unproductive in college?
This is a good question. And Grody, the day that we do get Mike, Extreme Mike, here on the podcast, remind me to pose a music question that will fit in very nicely about a band that he had no choice but to become an owner of, like a fan of, and own the fandom of. So just for when he comes on. I'll give you the band name and then we can tell the story when he comes on. Lifehouse. Okay. We'll get there at a later date. Lifehouse. Xavion Thomas, on more pressing topics. The reason that Xavion Thomas was the darling of OTAs and minicamp is because in the spring, speed shows up, right? And explosive speed shows up when you're in shorts and you're not playing full ready football and you're doing a lot of stuff that showcases that. This dude has got real live, big time alpha speed. Okay. And you know why the Bears invested in him, right? And took him in the draft because they see a guy that can pair with Ben Johnson in a way where you can use that speed in a lot of different ways. They saw things in his college tape where they could give him the ball out of the backfield and make him make a play. They saw the ability to use him on fly sweeps to get him some quick hitters and turn him into a run after catch guy, which is where his weapon's going to be. But I think also from inside the building, Grody, you've heard sort of this measured timeline on his emergence, that there's a lot in this offense that you have to absorb, and the nuances of route running at the NFL level and an offense that is as detailed as this are going to take time. And so I would think that 2026, his rookie season, most of his impact is going to come via special teams as a kickoff returner. In that phase, he's currently learning how to handle kick return dynamics that didn't exist in college, right? It's a different kickoff structure in the NFL nowadays. And so Xavion Thomas has got to learn that. But I do think overall, you're seeing a guy that may not have a massive role, in 2026, but when the ball is directed his way, either on special teams or on offense, it's going to be for impact, right? And so you may see some big sizzle plays here, and then he may be non-existent for 3 weeks, and then there's another sizzle play, and then on you go. And so it's going to be fascinating to kind of watch that play out. The other thing I will just point out is that the Bears love the DNA, and when Khalif Raymond brought him up unsolicited as a guy who was spending a ton of post-practice time working on his hands and catching balls out of the jugs machine, that fits in with this sort of culture they're trying to build there. And so I think he's earned a lot of respect early by putting in some extra work.
I think maybe some possible reasons for the lack of productivity in college too is, and maybe I'm just grasping at straws, is the fact that he did play for two teams. He'd played for Mississippi State. He played for LSU, played for an LSU team, which saw Brian Kelly get axed and the offensive coordinator get axed. So what wasn't good enough there, obviously what they were doing. And I don't know how much that, I didn't watch enough to know if that affected what was going on with Xavier Thomas. And you mentioned the special teams thing too, that he could have been pigeonholed as a special teams guy, and this is where we want you. So I think those are some possible reasons. And the Darling thing too, I mean, you kind of hit on it, but when a guy runs a 4.28 40, is that what it was? 4.3 40, let's just call
4.28,
it
4.28,
yeah. 4.28 40. As reporters, to be honest with you, we're all watching it. We're all projecting it. We want to see it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When we see it, we're going to report it. And we're going to talk about it because speed is cool. Like to have a guy that cool. Fast. Right? When you'd see him like catch a ball, and a lot of times they just run to the end zone no matter what, and you'd see him turn it on. Like, that's noticeable. I don't know if that's going to translate to the NFL because sometimes it doesn't, Bayless Jones. But it does stand out. Also, like just the Darling question, the guy's got a great personality, and he's related to Walter Payton. So there
maybe. Yeah. I don't know if we fully confirmed that yet. That's still out there.
I did notice, man, it is in his Wikipedia page. It does say now that the specifics still aren't there. Nobody knows the specifics, but it does say related to Walter Payton on his Wikipedia page.
We got to get to the bottom of this before it's up. And one last thought on this topic. Hanging by a moment here with you, letting go of all of it, don't you?
Oh, man.
Thanks, Extreme Mike, for the double dose.
Oh, wow. Wow, the microphone squeal was perfect right there.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lifehouse is okay. Lifehouse is okay.
Exactly. That's who that is. Lifehouse, right?
Yeah. That's living by a moment.
It takes.
They're, you know, look, their song Meant to Live is kind of a banger. I'm not gonna lie. It's, you know, it's all right. Anyway, okay. Well, another there we go. Another question here. This one is from sorry about that. Okay, here we go. This one is, we're back to X for this one, guys. So again, you can find us on Twitter or X at Take the North Pod. This is from at Bears Barroom HQ. Is there any chance Dennis Allen will meet with the media earlier in the week during the regular season? He's reluctant to answer questions about the performance of his defense in the previous game, saying we're focused on the game ahead. Can the media request a change in the schedule of press conferences?
Here, I've got the why he won't and why maybe they will. Why maybe they won't is because Dennis Allen's been doing this for a hell of a long time. Dennis Allen has been a defensive coordinator or head coach in this league. He's had power in this league since 2011, 15 years of that. And that's not even counting his building up and some of the position coaching that he had done and his early work with teams. So that's not even his whole career, but he has had that kind of, he was part of the Saints Super Bowl championship. The man has skins on the wall. So he does have a little bit more power than your average Sean Desai type of defensive coordinator that has come through Hallis Hall. The other part of this too is it does appear that there's a little bit of humility with Dennis Allen from this offseason in terms of pointing the thumb at the coaching and needing to do better out on the field with some of the basics and some of the fundamentals as opposed to just putting in the defense. So maybe he looks at it that way. But I guess the overall question really is a Bears question, maybe even an NFL question. Would they do that? I think it would be better for everybody, quite frankly. And look, Dennis Allen got a free pass a lot of times, just like pushing off questions about what happened the previous week. I didn't think that was particularly fair that it was that position, but it's like that in many NFL locales. So I hope it changes. I don't think it's fair the way it is right now, but I think it's probably 50-50.
There was a time when coordinators would answer questions immediately after games. In the early 2000s, that was still happening when I first kind of got into the NFL locker rooms for the first time. That would be great. That's never coming back, but that would be great if you could get them right after a game to ask them about some of those things. In this case, we do have to wait till the middle of the week. And as you know, Grody, it takes time with all these new people to figure out, okay, what makes them tick? What types of questions do they respond best to? Which do they become kind of aversive to? I think we're still trying to figure out what Dennis Allen is most excited about talking about and where we can get him to kind of open up. Now, your goal when you're on a beat, particularly a football beat where there's so many people, is to help or to seek out others that can help fill in the gaps of what some of the question evaders don't allow you to get the answers to, right? And so, like, I actually thought Kevin Byard was phenomenal last year where you were like, okay, I've got some defensive questions that Dennis Allen wouldn't address, but KB is going to be a great resource. So this is going to end, the locker room's going to open, we're going to go back there and we're going to get some clarity to some of this. And so you hope between position coaches and defenders and that there are enough guys within this locker room and within this team that can help fill in some of those gaps. We still haven't really got to Dennis Allen about the Rams game in the playoffs. And that was one of the defense's finer moments. You know, they played really well that night at Soldier Field. And so maybe in training camp, we, you know, 6 months later, we ask him, hey, can we talk about the Rams game a little bit here before we move on to other stuff?
That he might talk about. That he might be happy to talk about his strategy and all that. But yeah, no, I remember too. I think it was Ron Turner's second stint as offensive coordinator with the Bears and just the luxury of him just like walking through the locker room. Oh, can I get a couple questions with you? Sure. Yeah. No problem. What happened? And then it's done. It's over with. You don't have to have this big formal thing in the media room with Dennis Allen dodging questions about what happened the previous week. And you're right. We had a great source in Kevin Byard publicly because he would answer those questions, but that is putting pressure on your players too.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
You're not going to answer these questions about what happened. I'm afraid we're going to have to ask your players more questions and they may or may not answer it. But I think Dennis Allen dodged those questions hurt his players to some degree.
Yeah. And you know, there's a bigger topic here that we can get into closer to training camp about just kind of setting yourself up for success in those ways, because this Bears team in 2026 is going to have a ton of attention coming their ways. And I think with some turbulence inside their departments, they're going to have to find some stability to set their players and their team up for success with all of the demands that are coming their way this coming summer and into the fall, obviously.
Coming soon, by the way, July 8th, it's official.
25th rookies and 28th were there, right? That's it.
It's when it's all happening, man. Get ready. It's almost July. Life is almost July. Adam Studzinski, what have ye for us next?
I would, first of all, have liked to have asked Ron Turner after the Super Bowl why they stopped running the ball in the second half when Thomas Jones said he felt like he could have ran for 200 yards. Just saying. I'm just saying.
Good question.
Well, hey, man. Maybe he was asked that question. I wasn't, you know, paying attention to press conferences at that point in my life.
So. You're the producer. Book him.
Right, there you go. I'll track down Ron Turner. I'll
add Ron Turner would probably be an organization better than Ron Turner.
I feel like I could ask him all sorts of questions.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, the mid 2000s Illini.
There we go. Yeah. Turner was hired right before I left Champaign. So got to listen to a little bit of Ron Turner.
I liked when he was hired. That felt good. I don't know how successful he was as their head coach, but
they climbed. Climbed. They went to the Sugar Bowl and played LSU. I'm not going to tell you about the result of that game, but
Sugar. You guys, System of a Down fans, by the way.
Sugar.
Hell yeah.
Sugar.
Big System of a Down fan. I love them. I still got some of their songs on my workout playlist.
Okay.
This next one from at Jim Gottberg. Is this a make or break season for Rome Odunze?
I'll start with this one, Grody. I would not go that extreme to call it a make or break season, but I do think it is a significant year. Obviously, Rome as a top 10 pick understands, I think, the business ramifications of a strong third season. You're at a point where the Bears are obviously would want to enact your fifth-year option next offseason, start thinking about what a contract extension would look like. We've talked on previous episodes about just kind of like putting together this entire puzzle now with a roster that has so many young core pieces that you hope eventually get extensions here. But I think when we're talking about Rome's present, we're talking about wanting to see him healthy during training camp. We're wanting to see him make an impact, understanding that this offense is going to be diverse and spread the ball around to backs and tight ends and receivers. And you want a guy with that draft pedigree and that type of upside to show that on a regular basis, starting the first week of training camp. And so coming off the injuries last year, which really limited him, I think Rome has some questions to answer. We saw some issues with drops, which felt out of character and not really on the scouting report from what Rome had shown his rookie season and coming out of college. And so there are questions that Rome needs to answer. I think he's capable of answering them. I don't think it's a make or break season, but I would throw significant. I'd get that stamp out, dip it in the ink pad, and bam, significant season, Rome Odunze.
I like that. I mean, and let's be clear here about Rome Odunze. Rome Odunze has not had a bad season with the Bears. His first year as a rookie, 734 yards. His second year with the foot injury, 661 yards receiving. And obviously the injury played a role. There were some drops. There were some bad moments for Rome for sure in this past year. He just hasn't had a season that is worthy of calling him a top 10 pick. I mean, the expectations for him are big. These are not bad years for him. And I agree with you. It's not make or break, but this season will tell you the trajectory of his career. Is his next contract a big one? Is it a multi-year deal? Or is he going to be one of these receivers that gets one-year contracts and bounces around the NFL? I just think that will not break him. It's going to tell the story potentially of his career. But yeah, it's a huge year for Rome Odunze. We know with DJ Moore being gone, and him and Luther Burden and Colston Loveland are the guys that I expect to be the primary pass catchers for the Bears this year.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Do we have uno mas? We got
one more football question and then one non-football question. And by the way, just so our loyal listener, Adam Anderson, he asked a couple really thoughtful, deeper questions that we will get to. We've talked about this before we started recording. So Adam, we will get to your questions at a different time. It's just, there's a lot to your questions. And so the guys just wanted to, we need more space for that one.
Yep.
So
good stuff.
Yeah. Our last one comes from our Gmail. So our Gmail is takethenorthpod@gmail.com. This is from DC Dombrowski. He asks, Noah Sewell was pretty effective before he was hurt last year. I don't hear or read much about him being in play for 2026. Could you update his recovery timeline and injury, please? So real quick, I can answer this straightforward. Mm-hmm. And then this sparked a deeper question for me. So the injury for Noah Sewell was a torn Achilles, which he sustained in the 49ers game. So that was late December. So I would presume that his timeline is going to be lucky if he plays at all in 2026. So assuming that he is not really in the picture this year, I want to know how you guys feel about the Bears linebacker room and specifically their depth outside their top two guys.
Well, I think that maybe ideally, like if Noah Sewell is not going to be a factor, especially early on, you know, Keyshawn Elliott seems like the guy, the fifth round. Yeah, fifth round linebacker out of ASU who came in talking big about special teams, that it he could be on every phase on special teams and provide some depth and maybe do some of what Noah Sewell was projected to do. And by the way, there is a Sewell on the roster. It's a nephew of the Sewells, who is the brother of Penny Sewell and obviously Noah Sewell as well. So there is, just don't get confused when you see that, because I was confused at one point watching. So I think that he steps up. I love Devin Bush. I hope DeMarco Jackson is okay. I know he got banged up a little bit during the mandatory minicamp portion. Jack Sanborn, great depth. Reuben Hippolyte, who the hell knows with Reuben Hippolyte, the fourth rounder. Maybe he'll be a revelation this year. TJ Edwards, what are you getting from TJ Edwards working through injuries and getting a little bit older? So I'm actually on the overall, even if it doesn't sound like it in my tone, I'm pretty okay with what the Bears have going down in on their depth chart with linebacker, even if Noah Sewell's not going to be a factor right away.
Eager to see what TJ Edwards brings to the table. Obviously an injury plagued 2025 and then was lost in the playoff game against the Packers to I think it was a fractured ankle or fractured fibula. And so he's got to come back and show that he's close to full strength. I love the re-signing of DeMarco Jackson. I thought he gave you exactly what you want there as a guy who can be a fill-in starter and also give you a lot on special teams. Right now he's slated to be one of your starters in the base defense. I'm okay with the linebacker position. I'm not like thrilled with it. You know, it's like
you're upset about Tremaine Edmonds still. I think.
It's a satisfactory position, but like there's some depth, but it's just kind of, I don't know. Like I'm just trying to figure out where the impact's coming from. I need to see more out of Devin Bush. They feel like he is fit for this defense. The speed is going to show up on a regular basis, but he's a little undersized and his career has been a little bit inconsistent over time. And you have to try to see with your own eyes that what he put on tape last year is the real Devin Bush and not just a kind of, you know, spike in performance that then goes down. So I guess I'm more curious about this position than optimistic, because I'm trying to figure out where the game changing plays are going to come from. And right now I'm just struggling to answer that question a little.
That's fair.
Cover me.
Candlebox. Great song.
Good album too. Just like, you know, back in the day, that's when you would order, you know, you'd pay a penny to BMG or whatever the other record company was, and they'd send you 11 CDs in the mail, and you'd be at you'd be like six in to checking your boxes off. Yeah, let's throw Candlebox in there. We're gonna Candlebox. Yeah. We're gonna blare that in the dorm room here.
You got room on your depth chart for some Candlebox.
Let's go. Let's throw them in.
Oh man. All right. This is our last question. A non-football question comes from Brian Bell on Twitter or X. Have you, Dan or Mark, ever kayaked the Chicago River?
My answer to that is yes, I have. Oh. It's an interesting question. Not like the full river, but my wife and I, we were downtown for an anniversary probably 5-6 years ago. It has to be more than 6 years ago because it would have been COVID. We wouldn't have been out doing that. The River North portion, right? Like you pick it up over there, you know, near the Marina Towers, and then you just go for as long as you can. It's fun. I enjoyed kayaking the Chicago River. There are points where you have to turn around and get to the other side of the river, and sometimes there's some serious boat traffic coming through, and you know, you got to navigate that a little bit. You don't always know who's driving those boats down the river with control. You know what I mean? And so like you got to navigate that a little bit. But once you figure that out, that's an enjoyable little day excursion because of how awesome that that section of the Chicago River is.
But I have never kayaked in the Chicago River. That doesn't feel like something that I would ever do on any river. That's just not me. I have been on the Chicago architectural tour on the river. I have taken the river taxi.
Very beautiful.
I'm kind of interested in doing one of those hot tubs. We like talking about the hot tub time machine. Have you seen
the hot tub time machine? Oh, yeah. I have seen the hot tub boats, and that's been brought up many times. I'm a little worried about the sanitation of
that's fair.
That's where I'm a little. If you could assure me that it's a brand new, fully bleached that I'm getting into, maybe I'm in. But otherwise, I'm a little nervous about what I might pick up in there.
Especially if like Dave Matthews Band has been rolling down the river at any point in time, like stay away from them as they did their potty dump of their boat. Dave Matthews Band did. Where are you on Dave Matthews Band?
Fully in.
Okay.
No reservations at all. Of a couple of the bands that I like that get a lot of heat from critics, I feel like Dave Matthews and Coldplay are at the top.
Totally.
And love them both. And I make no apologies for loving them both.
That's all right. I'm total hit or miss. I'm hit or miss with Dave Matthews. Got it right time, right mood, right place, right moment. I can handle Dave Matthews Band. I think Crush, I take Crush over Crash, by the way, Crash into me. Crush is like, that one got me. I remember working in Lincoln, Illinois. When that song came out, Crush, I thought that was a very soulful song that got through to my spirit.
I was listening to I Let You Down the other day, and I was like, oh, this was really good.
Oh, I don't know if I know that.
Let you down, let me pick you up, I let you down.
This is what Dan sings to his wife when his wife is mad at him.
To the top so I can see the view from up there, tangled in your hair.
I bet you love Dave Matthews Band. You seem like you'd go to all the shows.
Dave Matthews, so I've actually only seen him once. I saw him in Noblesville, Indiana, went to both days of his 2-day show out there. I was in college. It was like 2010, I think. It was awesome. Yeah. I will say that Dave Matthews was definitely my favorite band from probably age 16 to somewhere in my mid 20s. So I was a huge fan. I'm still a fan. Like I still will tell people how good I think Dave Matthews is. Like, I think musically they're brilliant. Carter Beauford, the drummer, if I were to pick the second greatest drummer alive, we talked about in our last episode, Danny Carey, I think, is the greatest living drummer. Number two is probably Carter Beauford, and that's Dave Matthews' drummer. He's incredible. Crush is a great song. I'm glad you picked that one out.
So. I will say he is on my depth chart of guitar players who hold their guitar up real high. pretty good. Him and Tom Morello, basically, is what I have.
That's the list, right? I don't know what's the rest of the list. I don't know
if there's anybody else who does that. Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine and Dave Matthews Band. Or Dave Matthews, period.
I think I saw Dave most recently at Northerly Island, 4 or 5 years ago. And it was, he played for a long time, which was awesome.
Yeah,
like, one of those where he was not cutting it short and you feel like you got your money's worth by the end of it.
Yeah, his shows are not short by any means. Like both the shows that I went to when I saw him in Noblesville, that's the first night, especially because there was a rainstorm. So the show got delayed for a couple hours and man, they played until like midnight. It was great. So there you go. So, all right. This podcast is a fan of Dave Matthews Band. That's going to get a lot of heat. I'm not.
Northerly Island, probably one of the best venues I've been to. I ran into Studs at a Incubus Bad Flower concert, a couple of summer. One of my favorite concert experiences of all time, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was coming, but it was beautiful.
Incubus is my current favorite band. I've seen them, I think, 6 times now.
Okay.
I would love that venue to be a little bit easier to get in and out of, just like
that's its biggest issue.
But it is a great place to be once you get through.
I walked there, so I don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. Anything else, Dan? Anything? I mean, like, I feel like the
covered a ton.
We've covered a ton here today. I feel like in these two mailbag episodes, this has been quintessential Bears offseason stuff. A lot of good substance. But if this football podcast doesn't work out, it is clear to me that you and I could do a music podcast with some of the lyrics, some of the knowledge, and we would just crush it.
No one would listen to it, but we would be able to do it regularly. Yeah, that would be the key to it.
Because we sing too much.
now, let me ask you this. I gave you a homework assignment at the start of this episode. What is the song you're listening to as soon as we hit the close window on the StreamYard here?
Ants Marching.
Get Your Groove On, Limp Bizkit, and Exhibit. Oh, yeah. Come on, let's go. I want this, like, 5 minutes after, I want you to text me and be like, oh, yeah, I see what you're into with that.
All right, I'm writing it down to remind myself right now. I will do that. And I bet you I bet you I've heard it, but I'm going to listen to it and I will text you immediately.
For extra credit, you have to tell me the lyric that that you find the most amusing and that you think that NSFW lyric that you think that I was drawn to.
Why did it take so long? Why? To figure it out. Long. That is going to do it for us, whether you want it or not. For Dan Weider of The Athletic and frequent score contributor and musician and man of many skills, he is Dan Weider. Our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, doing a great job of emceeing our mailbag episodes. I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the mighty Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.